Now to leaving town and figuring out who will care for your pet. A shout out to Lisa in Milwaukee for inspiration on this segment. During our caller only hour this month, she was dropping off at doggy daycare when she called in, and it sounded like organized doggy chaos in the background. She wasn't calling about this topic, but you can see the germ of the idea. Bring your questions on pet boarding and pet sitting for the vet, 800-642-1234. Dr. Julia Bates is here, board certified veterinarian in small animal internal medicine at Madison Mobile Veterinary Specialists. Dr. Bates, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks so much for having me, Kate.
Well, last we spoke was way back in 2020. It was about how the pandemic was really causing a lot of issues in veterinary care. What does that look like today?
I think things are improving. Things are settling down a little bit for veterinarians and for owners. Clinics are opening back up again. I travel around all over Dane County and Milwaukee County, and it's really variable from clinic to clinic. Some clinics are still doing a hybrid model where, you know, they're letting maybe some people come in, but most people are not coming into the clinic. Some clinics, it's kind of a free for all, you know, no masks, no nothing. So it's really interesting, the kind of the dichotomy from one clinic to the next. But I think all in all, things are, slowly getting back to the way they used to be.
Is there still such a backlog of trying to get into the vet? What about the number of vet techs? What about staffing?
Still problems. I mean, I think depending on where you are, a lot of clinics still have quite a bit of a backlog. Some clinics, their schedules have opened up and they are, they have like surgeries and dentals, I think, are being pushed back quite a bit. But I think day-to-day appointments have been, getting in without too much of a problem.
Okay.
Staffing is still, it's still hard to find, good nursing staff. I mean, every clinic that I go into is looking for, someone. And, the nurses or the techs, they are really the backbone, along with the receptionists, are really the backbone of any practice. They're the ones that are, the first line. I mean, and the techs are doing so much of the communications and stuff with clients. And so they are really a valued part of the profession that's often overlooked.
Well, here we go. Family going out of town, and that furry friend is going to get some boarding options. What do facilities require of a pet and the owner before an overnight stay?
Good question. It varies from boarding facility to facility, but mostly they do, most of them require some type of vaccinations, usually the core vaccinations such as distemper and rabies, and also Bordetella or the kennel cough vaccine. Some clinics, when the flu virus, when influenza was kind of going around, influenza became part of their core requirements for vaccines. So some of them still require influenza. Those are the big things. Essentially the Bordetella is probably the most important vaccine, but other core vaccines to help prevent, spread of disease.
So, and that Bordetella, that's to prevent what is called kennel cough from spreading. Is that right?
Correct. Kennel cough is a highly contagious. It's a constellation of bacteria and viruses, and it's really contagious. And dogs develop this, in most cases, a self-limiting, really loud, harsh cough. But in some cases, it can progress to become a pretty severe pneumonia.
So should I ask for a kennel tour? How should I pick out a boarding facility?
Great question. I think, yes, it's like picking out your family veterinarian, right? Like I encourage people to go and visit, harder now with the pandemic, right? But to go and visit and walk around and make sure that you feel comfortable with where you're leaving them, meet the staff, see what the kennel facilities are like. I think, you know, doing a meet and greet is super important and super helpful to set expectations. And so, you know, you have an idea of where your pet is staying while you're gone.
What should I look for in like the common play area, the dog hangout areas, because that's become really popular that, you know, once upon a time, you know, dogs were put in isolation, but now there's these like play areas, and what should we look for there?
Well, is it clean? Does it smell like feces and urine? How are the dogs interacting with each other? Are there dogs that are really aggressive versus, you know, dogs that are really timid? What's the staff doing with the interaction? Are they, you know, left for just a free for all, or is there oversight in those open, you know, play areas?
Mm-hmm. What if your dog doesn't get along with other dogs, and if, you know, it doesn't do well in that group play setting? What are your options there?
Oh, there, you know, there's such a variety of kennels and boarding situations that, you know, some boarding facilities have, you know, really separated off place where they can have their own indoor outdoor sort of facilities. Some also have more separated areas where, you know, for additional fees, they almost have a wing or an area of the facility to themselves, and maybe a staff member will be there with them all the time, you know. Or, you know, if your dog is really shy and doesn't do well in group settings or in new places, you know, then having a pet sitter come in, you know, and take care of your pet in your home is a great option as well.
We're going to talk about pet sitting in a moment and what to look for there in preparing the pet sitter. But, you know, you mentioned cost, and how should you weigh the cost of boarding? Because, you know, it can add up really, those costs can add up quickly, and then there are extra fees usually.
Right. Those costs do add up quickly, and especially the more pets you have, right? The more expensive it gets. If there are multiple pets staying in the same kennel, I think there are somewhat discounts for that. You know, and it's tough because it's expensive, but they are providing, you know, a necessary care. And as we know, finding good staff is difficult. So it's that, you know, it's benefits versus, you know, cost essentially. You know, I mean, in a good place to let you feel comfortable leaving your dog where, you know, they're happy to go and well cared for, you know, is well worth its price in gold.
If your pet hasn't been boarded before, what are some ways that you can get them ready? How do you acclimate them to that environment ahead of time?
That's a great question. One of the best ways to do that would be if the facility has like a doggy daycare, mm-hmm. you know, taking them in with you for the visit of the clinic. How do they respond? Do they have a doggy daycare where they can, you know, go a couple of times before you're going out of town to see how they adjust? I think those are the best ways to try to get a good idea of how well they'll fit in.
Wisconsin veterinarian Julia Bates stays with us on how to think about pet care when we cannot take our furry family members with us when we leave town. Still time for your questions. What arrangements have worked for you in the past or didn't go well for caretaking or boarding? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Dr. Bates here on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Taking our cat with us when traveling is not possible, and Maddie would not appreciate the journey given her track record from driving from Louisiana to Wisconsin. Goodness. So we want to leave her at home, but that requires advanced planning with a pet sitter. Join in on pet boarding, kennels, pet sitting tips, kennel resorts, what to expect. 800-642-1234. Dr. Julia Bates is a veterinarian with us for about 9 more minutes. Let's bring in Julie now in Cedarburg. Julie, hi.
Hi. Our family treats dog sitting. Our son and daughter-in-law have two dogs, The most recent one is a pit bull mix. It's a rescue, and that knows us well. We gave her a lot of exercise, but to be cautious, we had her sleep in the kitchen, which is good because she had diarrhea. And then again the next night, this is tough. And we're wondering if there's any kind of anti-anxiety medication or something they can give her in advance. We don't want to drug the dog, but that was difficult.
Julie, great question. Dr. Bates.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Julie. That is a great question, and not fun to either come home to or have the pets that are have to deal with. And those are tough if there's a lot of anxiety and stress. There are a couple of ways to potentially manage that. And one would be to have more interactions with the pet sitter, whoever's coming in, going and taking care of them, so they become more familiar. So it's less of a stressful event and less having to worry about, drugging the dog. Otherwise, potentially talking to your veterinarian about maybe even having, starting the dog on a bland diet before you go out of town. That's kind of a low fat diet that will be less taxing on their GI tract, as well as maybe some medications or probiotics to have on hand in case it happens. And if all else fails, then, perhaps some anti-anxiety medications, a couple of days before you're going and while you're gone to kind of decrease that stress. But I think the ideal thing would be to try to do more of a, what can we do to make this a less, a more of a regular and less stressful kind of exciting event for them.
Yes, because, with pet sitting, your pet is still alone for long hours of the day and night. And I just wonder how much does that negate the advantage of keeping them in their familiar surroundings?
That's a great question. And I guess it depends on how long the owners are gone for the day.
Mm-hmm.
If the family is gone, 8 hours a day, then that's probably something that they're used to. And oftentimes pet sitters may come in more than, a couple times a day.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people have dog walkers that come and walk their dog when they're gone, for long periods during the day. But I still think that if the dog is too stressed to go to a kennel, being in that home environment, or they're, old elderly pets, probably do a lot better in their home environment, where they know where things are and they have that comfort of being in their own place. So I think, both have their merits in, mm-hmm. in each situation.
My colleague Courtney chimed in here, and she has two adorable dogs. And, talking about pet sitting, there are apps like Rover to match a pet owner's needs with nearby sitters. And Courtney actually just booked their first one for next weekend. How should pet owners approach finding the right person over the internet if friends or family can't watch your pet?
Good question. One option to beyond those, I'm not too familiar about the, I've heard of the Rover app, but I'm not intimately familiar with that. So you have to forgive me. But I think, just like a kennel, interviewing them, having them come and meet your dog and meet your family and see how well you connect with them. Mm-hmm. Also talk to your veterinarian or your veterinary, nursing staff. Do they have recommendations? A lot of techs to make some extra money will do pet sitting and house sitting. And they also, are great. They are great, especially if your pet needs medications. I mean, that's another big question to ask. If boarding or having a pet sitter come in, how can they handle administering medications? That's something that I hear a lot. People will go out of town and, when we talk about what medications their pets need to be on, and it becomes overwhelming because they say, how am I going to get somebody else to do this? So how comfortable do they feel giving those medications and ensuring that they get them? But I think having that one-on-one connection and meeting them and make sure that you feel comfortable with them is probably the most important advice I could give.
My daughter does pet sitting, and one thing that we really appreciate is when the owner writes out exactly everything, like every amount, every how the day is structured, and just so it's all there in one place written out, even though we've gone over it and done the walkthrough. Just having those instructions is really handy. Are there any thoughts on that?
I think that's a great idea. When I leave town, I write out descriptions of my pets, even though the people that have taken care of them know them, you know, with their names. And, you know, Emmy, she's the striped cat, and Millie, the boxer, and kind of their ages, and any when they get fed and how much they get fed and where they get fed. Yes, I think that's really important. And that way there's no confusion, right? Like the you're coming in and there's all the excitement and you know, it's easy to forget what might happen and when it's supposed to happen. So having it written out very well is important, especially if they are on any medications. That is really important too. I reached out to the local people in my community to see if they had any advice too. For boarding, and one of the really good comments that I got was that owners should really communicate well any medications that their pet is on, and that's in a boarding facility or at home, and have it, you know, well outlined what they get, when they get it, how they get it, and then also to have things labeled very well. You know, it's if you're pet sitting and you go into home and there's a bottle of pills, but they're not well labeled, can be overwhelming, right? Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that we're getting pets the right medication. So having that written down and having things labeled very well would be really helpful for everyone.
Dr. Bates, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Dr. Julia Bates is with Madison Mobile Veterinary Specialists. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.